How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Why should a person follow Christ? Now, there's two aspects to this. Some people usually say, the first answer is usually, and I'm glad Jordan had a different one than this, most people say, to get to heaven. And which is true. And most witnessing today is designed to tell people that the reason they should follow Christ is to get to heaven. And that is a very good reason to follow Christ. Let's take a look at this scripture. The scripture says that in the ages to come, that is beyond the ages in which we have lived on this planet, that He, Jesus, might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Now watch this. In the ages to come, He's going to show you great riches. He's got big plans for you. He wants to take you after you die on into eternity with Him. And He's got great purposes and great plans and great intentions for you. Most people's idea of heaven is sitting around with a harp. You know, Lord knows we have enough people harping around here, right? And it's not what it's about. He's got, I love what the hymn writer said, in mansions celestial and endless delight, I'll ever adore Him in the heavens so bright. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and a great reason to follow Christ is certainly to get to heaven, especially when you know the alternative. Another suggestion is because He is Savior, if you follow Him, you can get your life put back together again, reestablished in life. And how true that is. Here's a wonderful verse just at the front end here. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now watch this. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You will know where you're going in this life if you're following Christ. If a person is not following Christ, they can take any one of 10,000 roads. I mean, after all, if you're not going anywhere, any road can take you there. But in following Christ, there are benefits here and now. So the two perspectives. One is an eternal perspective. What happens after this life, that's a good reason for following Christ. But there are a lot of benefits for following Christ here and now. And in fact, that's what I really want to talk to you about for a few moments this morning. So here's a biblical setting. Peter comes to Jesus and he says, lo, Jesus, we have left all to follow you. Because to follow somebody, you've got to stop going where you were going. And he said, we have forsaken all our other ways to follow you. And then Jesus makes a remarkable statement. I want you not to miss it. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, I say unto you, or truly, there is no man that has left house or brother or sister, father or mother or wife, children, or lands for my sake in the Gospels. There's nobody who's forsaken all these things. But watch this now. But he shall receive 100 times much now in this life, in this time. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecutions. Now watch this. And in the world to come, you get eternal life. So Jesus is saying, if you follow me, you will get eternal life. But you will also get in this life 100 times more than you otherwise would have. And that's what I want to talk about for a few moments this morning. By following Jesus, you not only get the eternal stuff that's really important, you don't want to miss that. But he says that this life will be 100 times better for you with him than if you try to live it without him. 100 times. Now that doesn't mean you're going to have 100 times more brothers and sisters, because you may have enough already, or 100 mothers. But it does mean that your relationship with your mother will be 100 times better. It does mean that your relationship with your father can be 100 times better. It means that your relationship with people will be 100 times more better. You will have 100 times as much money. Oh, people just started listening. I'm glad. This is what Jesus says. And one of the amazing things to me about the Lord and about the Bible, you know, if you counted the number of pages from, let me see, this one has about 1,900 pages in it. If you counted the number of chapters, which is what, 30, I forgot. If you counted all the verses, which is 33,000 something, most of them are not talking about eternity. Most of them are talking about here and now. The reason the here and now is important is because eternity depends on the here and now. See? So he wants you to get it right here so you can be right there. Follow? So 100 times. 100 times. He wants your life with him. And he promises it will be 100 times better with him than your life would be without him. Now, what I wanted to do today when I thought about this is I would like to tell you all of the 749 ways I know which are so wonderful about this life of following the Lord. But what I want you to do is to just catch a few. But before we begin, understand, there are only 2 options. Living life God's way or living life man's way. In fact, Jesus put it in the form of a scripture. Here it is. Enter into the strait. This word strait means narrow. For now watch this. There are 2 gates. One is narrow and one is wide. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Now look at this. And there's many that go in that way. Because straight or narrow is the gate. And look at this. And narrow is the way which leads unto life. And few there be that find it. And we are on one of those 2 ways. Now, I want you to take a look at this diagram. It's in your notes. And I want you to understand, this is you, and symbolically. And in front of every single one of us is an option. Choosing one of 2 ways. We can choose the broad way. This is the way most people are going. Thousands, thousands, thousands are going this way. But he gives you this option of going the narrow way. God's way is the narrow way. Man's way is the broad way. Now watch this, because this broad way leads here. Now, one of the great new stated principles of business and management is this. Begin with the end in mind. In other words, make decisions based on where you want this project to end up. Make your decisions today based on the end. And I want to suggest to you today that if you have not decided to follow Jesus, then you need to make a very high quality decision today. And you need to make that decision with the end in mind. Do you want this end, eternal life? Or do you want this end? Now, there's a catch in this. There are two catches. I want you to see them. I want you to see that this is a broad way, and this is a narrow way. And there's lots of people. There are thousands of ways to go towards destruction, but only one way towards life. That's the catch. That's the first catch. That's the first issue. The second issue is simply this, that in following the Lord's way, the Lord's narrow way, there are very few people to influence you that way. That most of the propaganda is going this way. And the second catch is really summed up in this. There's a way that seems right. Let me back it up for a moment. This way seems right. And the reason this seems right is because so many people are going this way. But watch this now. There's a way that seems right. But the end, here we are, but the end are the ways of death. But it's a seems right way. And what God is challenging us today to see, I believe, is, well, let me put it in this next diagram. Because there is a myth, there is a mistaken notion, there is a propaganda machine that's been working for decades, and watch what it says. This is what it says. It says that the broad way that leads to destruction is really wonderful. It's fun. It's glorious. It's meaningful. And they have trumped this up, and they have represented God's way, the narrow way, as tough and terrible. And that, my friend, is why 10,000 times 10,000s of people have bought in to going this wrong direction. Because the propaganda machine has said that's the fun way. When in fact, I'm here to tell you what Jesus said. He said the opposite. He said, if you follow me, your life will be 100 times more valuable. 100 times more significant. 100 times more blessed. Yep. 100 times more fun. Yes, 100 times more fulfilling. 100 times better. This way, not this way. So, let's look at some of those ways. Because you have a choice. This way or this way. And if you have made the wrong one, then I want you to catch the right one. First of all, the narrow way is easy. And the broad way that leads to destruction is hard. Now let's back up. Remember this? The propaganda says this way is easy and says this way is tough. But the opposite is true. Let's look at the scripture. Here's what Jesus said. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Look at what the rest of the next verse. But the way of the transgressor is hard. This is the hard way beloved, and this is the easy way. That's one good reason for making a decision today to follow God's way. It's not the, I'm telling you, this is the hard way going this direction. But secondly, going God's way, the future is bright. The future going this way is very bright. But the future going this way is very dismal. Look at the scripture. It is appointed unto man, every man, once to die, and after this, judgment. It's smart to follow Jesus because the end is so rewarding and the destruction will be avoided. Well, is the way of peace. You see, this is the way of peace. God wants you to have, if you're not following Him, He wants you to have 100 times more peace than you have right now. Imagine that. You say, well, preacher, I haven't got any peace. So 100 times wouldn't help me very much. If you have just a bit of peace, God's intention, Jesus says, hey, 100-fold in this life, 100 times. Look at the scripture. Great peace is how it's described. A great peace have they which love the laws of God, and they can't be offended. But look at this. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Look at this now. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Those that are going this way, they do not get peace. They are troubled. They are perplexed. They are disturbed. They are distressed. They are nervous. They are fearful. But Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I want you to have it 100 times better than you otherwise would have it. 100 times more peace. Well, how about the absence of sorrow? You see, this is plagued with sorrows. Look at this scripture. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. Now, watch the diagram with me, because you can get rich going this way, but you have riches with sorrows. But when you get rich God's way, it makes you rich and there is with it no sorrow. I know a lot of rich people. I really do know a lot of rich people. And most of the ones I know are full of sorrow. Well, just check the news the last 48 hours. Billionaires. People got riches, but they have ruined their marriages. They've lost their children. They don't enjoy their riches because there's sorrows attached to it. But God intends to make you rich without sorrows. Following Christ, another great benefit, is this way you've gotten rid of your guilt. These people have to live with their guilt. For Jesus was manifested, look at this, to take away our sins. Take them away. So you don't have to live with guilt. And guilt makes people do strange things. Guilt, unresolved, causes people to evaluate wrongly others because they're seeing everybody through their guilt. They make misjudgments. They feel insecure. Unresolved guilt leads to all kinds of illicit behaviors. But this wonderful way of Christ resolves guilt. Look at this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and He forgives us our sins, and He not only forgives, but He cleanses us from everything that we've done wrong. You see, this way is the high road. It's the clean road. It's the guilt-free road. It's where you have a clear conscience. These are plagued with a conscience that still bothers them. And then, when you walk the highway, God's way, you get counsel. Look at this. You get counsel from God. These people who walk down here are not listening to the counsel of God. Listen, they're getting the counsel of ungodly people. People who aren't any better off than they. They're all heading the same direction. So all they do, watch the diagram now. Watch the diagram with me. All they do is get counsel on how faster and how better to go this way to destruction. How tough that is. Look at the scripture now. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's no blessing by listening to the counsel of this group of people. No blessing there. Nor standing around with those people. Nor sitting with them. Because all they do is scorn. Values, important things, God. So blessed is the man that doesn't go this way, but he's heading this way, getting the counsel of God. And then, following the Lord's way is one of security as opposed to insecurity. The very next verse, the man who doesn't listen to counsel of God, but listens to God, he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And look at it, it's fruitful. He brings forth fruit in season. Leaf also doesn't wither. And look at this. Everything he does will prosper. That's on this road. Look at the next verse. The ungodly are not so. Those who don't listen to godly counsel, but are bent going their own way, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. I mean, those living down here, without the counsel of God, are like the chaff which the wind blows away. Whatever way the wind's blowing, they go. They have no direction. They have no purpose, no intentions. They just meander around the planet. So, how wonderful it is to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and everything you do prosper. And then, those that walk this way walk in light. Mention this verse, because the light is up here. The darkness is down here. Those who are down here are walking in darkness. They don't know where they're going. They trip and fall. They try something else. They try something. They go from one thing to another trying to find satisfaction. Oh, I wish I could find it. Because they're walking in darkness. They cannot see. And 1,000 blind men can see no better than one blind man. They got lots of company, but they're all stumbling. They're all going the wrong way. I want to suggest to you that in following Christ, you walk in light and not darkness. And then you walk in forgiveness instead of bitterness. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, forgiveness instead of bitterness up here. And we pray this, oh God, in our Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts the same way we forgive our debtors. That's what we do with people who do wrong to us. We forgive them. We forgive them. In fact, we're learning how to forgive them within the first 30 seconds of when the offense takes place. Because if you don't forgive somebody, you get the alternative, which is bitterness. And these people are filled with bitternesses down here. People have done them wrong. Yes, they've done you wrong. But not knowing what the right response to somebody who's done you wrong lead you in a case in the condition of bitterness. But this wonderful highway to heaven, I tell you, it is so great and so glorious that following Christ, there are good reasons. If there were no heaven, and if there were no hell, it would still be a smart thing to follow Christ. Because the benefits are overwhelming to live a bitter-free life. Imagine that. Because if you are bitter-free, you got a life that's 100 times better, at least, than somebody who's filled with bitterness. But we have learned to deal with our enemies. on this high road. Your enemy speaks against you. What do? We love him. We love our enemy. But down here, all kinds of hatred, violence. Then God's way is way of love as opposed to selfishness. Everyone that loveth is born of God. In other words, watch this now. Everybody on this track has love. Now, there's a lot of people who think themselves religious but don't love. We're talking here about genuine followers of the Lord. By this, Jesus said, shall people know you're my disciples because you have love one for another. Love is the proof. Love is the evidence. On this road, we live by this law of love. But he that loves not doesn't know God. He is down on this track. So we live this law of love, and so delightfully we love everybody. We love our enemies. We love our friends. We love those who speak against us. Oh, my goodness. Because they can't induce us. They can't provoke us to becoming like them. Instead, we live by this following Christ's way, which is the way of love. And then I want to tell you that up in this way is where sanity and soundness of mind is. And down here, there are all kinds of insanities, various levels and various degrees of insanity, by the way. But let's take a look at the scripture first. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and look at this now, and he's given us a sound mind. Isn't that interesting? I have people tell me that I'm religiously crazy. Let me tell you what. I think it's the same sensible way to live. It is sane. I don't have to worry about, am I going to fall off the deep end? Am I going to conk out? Am I going to have a nervous breakdown? Because when you're following Christ, you don't have a spirit of fear. But you have power, you have love, and you have a sound mind. Now, remember the diagram? They were the fun thing on the bottom. See, they make this big broad way look like it's sane. It is not sane to hate people. It is not sane to get drunk. It is not sane to drug yourself into a chemical vacation. It is not sane to steal. It is not sane to pull other people down, rip other people up. They say that we are insane. The truth is, we're the sane ones on the planet. We're the ones that go home after work and don't go out and get drunk. Our children get fed. We don't spend it on booze. Why? Because that's sane. That's smart. Jesus' way is a way of sanity. Speaking of children, well, let me go on. Because, you see, not only do you have a sound mind when you follow the Lord, but as we're going to see in a moment, it affects your marriage. I want to go to this diagram first of all, though, because there may be some of you here who have already, like all of us have, we all started going to all of us. All we like, they all started going. And I want to change my diagram a bit. Because there may be some of you here who have missed this or think. And I want to tell you and explain something that I couldn't put in a diagram. Let's assume for a moment that you are right here now and not back here where you're able to decide which place to go. See, at any moment, get off the track. You can join Christ. This is the good.
that just because you've been wrong, you don't have to stay wrong. Just because your life hasn't been as meaningful as it ought to be with Jesus doesn't mean you have to stay that way. See, Jesus still has his arms outstretched like no longer stretched out on a cross, but towards you like saying, come on, all ye that labor, I will give you rest. So you can change direction by bringing Christ into your life today. And I would really like to redraw the diagram. Let's supposing again, you're here, you've gone this way. But you know what? I might cut the path back here for you so that you don't miss all this on the way. That's why they call him Savior. That's why they call him Redeemer. He's the God of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance. And you may have said, I don't want you, Jesus. I don't want to be religious. I don't want to follow that crowd. I don't want the narrow way. I'm going to go the way everybody else did. I don't want to be different. You can change your mind. And you can come to Christ today. And this wonderful Jesus, let me tell you what it says. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He says, if you come to me, I will not reject you. I'm telling you, dear friends, this morning, that not only should a person follow Christ with the end in view because you get this instead of this, but you should follow Christ because this path is 100 times better than this one. It affects your marriage. Because on this path, marriage is based on the commitment of a man, a husband. A husband who says, a husband that says yes to God and yes to the Scripture and obeys this command. Look at this. Husbands, love your wives. And how do you love them? Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, what woman would not want to be married to a man who loved her like Christ loved her? Men who walk on this path treat their wives differently than walk. You see, down here, it's kind of a negotiated deal, settlement. If you'll do this, I'll do that. Up here, they are men. You know, if I were an unconverted woman, and I were looking, even though I'm unconverted, I'd look for it. They're the best on the planet. Now you say, well, I know some Christians that aren't. No, what you know is people who call themselves. You see, a Christian, the word Christian means Christ-like. And a man who is a follower of Jesus Christ, genuinely, he's a lover. He's a lover of his wife. Because he's under commandment. And he will make your life 100 times. Because the ways of God, 100 times. Then, want to follow Christ because watch, following this way is great love. Here, you can ignore the children. Let's look at the scripture. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his. So you see, on this path, men and women see children as belonging to God and only entrusted into their care temporarily. Now, if something belongs to God, and I have it, I'm going to look after it at very level. That's the Lord. Remember, we used to sing, Jesus loves little children, all the children. You know, some men think themselves beyond loving. That's like woman. I have many very warm, fuzzy pictures from the scripture. One of the warmest pictures I have of when he picked up a little child and set it. Said, except come. Another verse, warm, fuzzy. He picked up the little chest of children and he laid his. That's what real men do. I say that's what real men do. Bless children. Children. They belong to the Lord. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children. Father. Young. Children of youth are like arrows in the hands of a mighty man to care for that arrow because he's going to. Now, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. I want Corey to know that a quiver holds nine arrows. Not we all think he's really been doing good with Isabel, don't we? And. Nine, Corey. Nine in a quiver. Ask Mike Whitfield. How many children you got, Mike? Happy. Now, happy is the man. You see, through social engineering and reprogramming of a culture, we have gotten people to believe that they shouldn't have very many children. And in order to get them, we have said that other stuff is more valuable than children. Like if you have a child, you may not have a boat. If you have a child, you may not have the money for an overseas vacation. And we've held materialism up and the Broadway living people have bought into that. But those that live the narrow way, this way, understand the value of every little. Produces responsible men. Instead of absent men. See, down here, the men can be absent, but not up here. The way of treating children when you're a follower of Christ is decidedly different than how you treat children. You're going your own way. For example, men are under instruction. Ye fathers. Two instructions here. Or actually three. Number one, don't provoke your children to anger. Two, but bring them up. Oh, there's a good command. That's a command for men, not women. Women are naturally, they are our associates, they are the vice presidents, they are our assistants. But the responsibility for raising children is a man's job. Look at that. Your fathers, don't provoke them, children to wrath, but bring them up. Bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. Now you don't have to tell a woman to nurture a baby or nurture a child. They have nurturing instincts. Something of God is invested in their heart. But men need to be told. to be nurturing. And every child, a man is to treat that child, if he's a follower of Christ, in a nurturing, not only in the nurturing of the Lord, but in the admonition of the Lord. He is to advise. He's to lead them. And let me tell you this. Children of a godly father, children of a father who's following Christ, have a decided advantage over children whose father does not follow Christ. Because in following Christ, a lot of the false values are cut out of the picture for us. And we have no option but to love our wives. We have no, in fact, one of the best things you can do for your children is love their mother. The best thing you can do for your children next to that is be an example of what you want the child to be. Bring up a child in the way he should go and go that way yourself. That guarantees the child's going to go that way. That's our problem today, is men have learned how to be husbands from fathers who were not good husbands. And that's how we're getting in our predicament. And we're going to reach, if we haven't already, we have reached a time when we reach critical mass in a society where more people are falsely raising children than are doing it properly. And the exponential effect of in a national picture is phenomenal. It doesn't paint a very bright future for America. Because we've got absent fathers, absent from their duty, absent from their responsibilities, absent from their wives, absent from their children. Bring them up. That's the job. So you see, when Jesus said, you're going to have 100 times better have it. It's good reason. Certain. In the end, it's the best decision. But it's also a good decision because of this life. The hug. Now watch this guy. Oh, God ahead of me. Gonna come. This is what men do with their wives. And this scripture is Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to Jerusalem, presented to the Lord. That's what men do, follow Christ. They, along with their wives, present their child because they know it's the Lord's child. They come through us, but they are not of us. That's why we're taught to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. Because every child has two fathers. An earthly one after the flesh. A man and woman get together in marriage act, there's going to be a baby, probably. But who puts the person inside the baby? Not the father, not the mother. They just make flesh, but they just do the biological side of it. God is called the Father. He puts the person inside the baby. He really is your father. So, they brought Jesus and they dedicated him to the Lord. And this idea on this way of dedicating a child is really simple. First of all, it's a dedication of the child. They brought Jesus, brought him, to present him to the Lord. It's a dedication by the parent. That's who's making the dedication. They brought him. Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the dedication. It's a dedication of a child, and it's the dedication by the parent, and it's a dedication to the Lord and His.
Now, I think this is the picture I wanted to show you. Because this is a wonderful, wonderful moment today when a father and mother, backed by their grandparents, are taking this little precious one and dedicate her. Help her go there. That's real. So Corey and Rebecca, the wisest thing, a husband, a wife, a father, is to dedicate each child, to bring him, to dedicate him to the Lord and to the ways. Watch. Your child will experience 10,000 people trying to get her to go this way. And you're going to have to dedicate yourself to overcome all of this, make sure she goes right. And it begins when we take a little baby like this, stand before the Lord, Father, do an act of dedication. And it's really a dedication of themselves. They're dedicating themselves. I think this looks like a dedicated father. Actually, the real dedicated one of the mother still back in the room and nobody knows what she's going through yet. One year ago, Friday, something great happened on planet. CNN didn't pick it up, neither did Fox. See, the good news is that somebody got killed, somebody died. Good news is that somebody arrived on planet Earth. And one year ago, Friday, a little girl was fresh from the hands of God, fresh, entrusted by God into the care of Corey. And it's our privilege today to invite them to come. Isabel, parents, and stand right across the and to do what people on the Christ road do, those that are following Christ, they make a commitment, watch here, to raise a child in this direction. Thank you. Just come right up. And we'll sing. Yes, Jesus loves. Yes, Jesus loves. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me. Sing, yes, Jesus loves her. Yes, Jesus loves her. Yes, Jesus loves her. The Bible tells me. Well, I've been warned. Pastor Ted told me horror stories this week how during baby dedication, the baby vomited all over him and did all kinds of things. But I'm asking all the people to pray for the pastor right now. Will you do that? Isabel wouldn't dare do that, right? You prepared her for this moment, right? You've threatened her. Don't do that to the pastor. Okay.
as you can tell, following the example of the parents of Joseph and Mary, Corey and Rebecca have come to the temple to dedicate the child. I'm glad. And Corey, that's why you've come today. Is that right? And Rebecca, is that right? And you are a follower of the Lord, Corey? And Rebecca, you're a follower of the Lord. And it is your intention today to dedicate yourselves to make sure that Isabel follows the ways of the Lord. Is that right? I say amen to that, don't you? This is a great moment. This is a great witness. And of course, parents and grandparents are very important as well. And in fact, the scriptures, beyond our time today, but there are certain things that the scriptures say that grandparents should teach children and their children's children. And so I hope that you will. We come to this very sanctified moment. This is a moment when, in agreement with Corey and Rebecca, we take this moment, offer this child to the Lord. It's being done by the parents. And I'm going to help. I'm going to let you hold her. Isabel, I'd like to hold you. Oh, look at, are you ever, take a step out here, Corey. I mean, you probably ought to take a trip around the church. No, don't do it. And everybody should get a really good look at that. Isn't this? Of course. Heavenly Father, I bow with these two parents right now, and I do so in the name of Christ. And I do what you do, what Corey and Becca do right now. I touch them. Just like you laid your hand on the child. And we now ask the blessing. And we, as parents, these parents now themselves and dedicate the life to the less traveled road, to the narrow way, to the way that's 100 times better than every other. They do that in the name of God. They do it, we do it. Father, receive this little plan. How precious. In the name of God. Amen. 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 Corey, just let me ask you a couple more questions. Before this audience, before these witnesses, do you declare your intention to raise her in the nurture and admonition of the Lord as a father and as a mother? And will you, as grandparents, will you support Corey and Rebecca in raising this child in the ways of the Lord? Will you do that? That is great. Will you, as a congregation, commit yourself, whatever ways we can do, to fit? I mean, this little girl, usually Sunday mornings, before I see Mike Whitfield at the front leading in prayer, I see Rebecca strolling through the altar place. I kind of, well, no offense, Mike, but but Isabel walks around here, and she's always got a new hat, a new outfit or something. I don't know what it is, but she always looks fresh. And I think as a congregation, we need to make our commitment to this family, to these parents, and say, we will help in any way we can to raise this child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Will you say amen to that? Amen. So we're all on your side. Congratulations. I have a certificate for you. I'll give it to you another time. God bless you. God bless you, Rebecca. And remember, 8 more to go. Amen.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.